If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
David says, I want to build you a permanent house. But God wasn't interested in a permanent place. He wanted to keep that mobile representation so that they would be mindful that you could never leave him, that you could never walk away from him. They were his chosen people. Do you get the drift? They were his chosen people. God did not choose them because they were great. He didn't choose them because they were the largest tribe or because they were the most favored. He chose them because he loved them. Therefore, he chose us because he loved us. God loved us when we were not lovable. God loved us when we were still in sin. God chose us because he loved us. I am sorry that some of you struggle with that and say, well, what about the people that are not saved? I can't answer that question. I can only say he loved me. I'm sorry that he didn't love somebody else. And like he said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. I can't answer that question. But all I can say is like the blind man, I don't know if he was a devil or not, but all I do know is that I used to be blind, but now I see. Don't try to demonize my walk with God because other people are going to hell. That's what Paul is addressing down there in Rome with these believers. They're struggling with this new lifestyle, just like we struggle with it. Paul writes on two occasions to the Ephesians and to the Corinthians that we dare not become ignorant of the devil's devices. How does he get through to us? How does he poison our lives? How does he move us from the permanence of being the house of God back to a temporary job of being used by God? Being used by God is never permanent. God used people once. He used Obadiah, never used them again. God is not interested in using like we think. So we put a big emphasis on, I'm called of God. I want to be used of God. I just got a work to do. Do you know what your work is? The work is to live for God. It's not to do ministry. Ministry dies. It's over. You move past ministry, but you never move past relationship. And so he continues through the book of Romans and challenges us in chapter 8 and talks to the Jews and reminds them in chapters 9, 10, and 11. He says, look, even though God has reached out for the Gentiles, he has not forgotten you. He's coming back and he's going to restore you to that place of promise because he made a covenant with Abraham. He's not going back on that. I know right now it looks like everybody else is prospering and being successful in the things of God. He says, but you Hebrews, you Israelites, God's going to restore you. When he completes that task, he now says to those that are Christians, the one thing I want you to understand, he says, is that you should present your body as a living sacrifice to God. He says it's holy and it's acceptable, and it's your logical service. It's what you are supposed to do when you get saved. Don't look so much for giving God ministry. Don't talk about what you're supposed to do. Focus on what you are to be. I mean, when you read through this particular chapter, it is a chapter dealing with life examples. He's just trying to teach us how to live. He says that we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to undergo a transformation. I love this, and I love teaching this part, because the mind has to be transformed. In other words, as you grow in Christ, you think differently. Behaviors of the past, behaviors of the sin, of the fleshly life and of sin are no longer to find a place in your life. Not because they would take you to hell. See, for years, Pentecostal believers always used the specter of hell to keep us in line. You're going to hell if you go to the movies. You're going to hell if you drink liquor. You're going to hell. And all of those things, while I understand their philosophy, they were just trying to get us to live differently. It's simply not true. Because if God were to send us to hell for bad behavior, then none of us would go to heaven. I mean, when are we ever going to realize that nobody is perfect? In fact, the higher you go in God, the more you start seeing deficiencies. That promotes humility. Lord, help us. I really just want to talk to my people now. You know, I preached for years and didn't see any growth. Preached till my lungs collapsed and you got happy and danced at the altar, but still stopped speaking to people. And I'd preach till I could cough up blood and have doctors telling me you got to stop preaching for 3-4 months at a time because of the strain on the vocal cords. And you go out and don't even talk to people. Don't even obey God. I said, Lord, this don't make sense. And I look at somebody else and they just simply stand behind the pulpit and teach the word of God, and you look at the congregation and they're joyful and they're loving, and I tell them, don't put the cameras on our congregation because we look mean sometimes, and people are looking at TV and they say, oh, tell them to keep the camera on you and try to block out the preacher sitting behind you, so it's just on you. And I thought, Lord, what's going on here? I'm preaching till I can't even stand up, till I go home and curl up in a fetal position, and yet it's not getting through. And the Lord let me know that it's fighting with emotion. Demonstrative preaching engages emotion so much so that it cuts off the analytical part of the brain. When the brain releases the pleasure stuff, you know, the endorphins, when the endorphins are released, you can't think. That's why it's called amusement. Ah means no, muse means thinking. You don't think when you go on a roller coaster. You're not thinking. You don't go there and say, well, let me look and see if they're using 18-gauge steel or 20-gauge steel. You don't even stop to think for a moment that the thing was built by the lowest bidder. That's why it's called amusement park. Don't think. Just walk in. Now, I know some of you right now, I read your thoughts. Some of you are going, well, then why do you go to Disney? Disney's not an amusement park. It's a theme park. The devil is a lie. Disney is not an amusement park. It's a theme park. And the theme is Mickey is Lord in Orlando. So Paul now says that you and I are to be transformed. I love this because he says, first of all, there is the absence of conformation to the culture. This is your most difficult effort as a Christian. To avoid being subjugated to worldly principles. For example, you and I are the antithesis of the world. We are the opposite of the world. And in the Bible, there are things that are opposites that are taught through the positive. It's a classic way of teaching that really goes with the Shakespearean period of time. Today we don't do it because our children lack vision and the imagination to do it. But like the Bible would say something along the line of man ought to always pray and not faint. That's the positive. So the antithesis of that would be if you faint and don't pray, you're violating. But he never told you you were violating by not praying. You drew that conclusion from the positive. If he said, I ought to always pray, then if I don't pray, I'm in unbelief and disobedience. You see what I'm saying? We draw that conclusion. Today, our young people say, well, you didn't tell me not to do that. And you, if you are of a different generation, you'll say, but I told you this. For example, I told you don't play with matches. And they'll say, well, I wasn't playing with them because playing means playing. All I did was strike it and burn the house down. I wasn't playing with it. And so now you have to go through the effort to greatly explain and strip things down to this new generation because they're playing mind games. You can't play mind games with God. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then you walk up to him and say, well, is oral sex adultery? I mean, we ain't doing nothing. I mean, we're just going out for dinner. Well, you didn't say thou shalt not go to dinner. Let me move off that now. My 7 o'clock people, y'all getting bougie on me now. All right, fine. I'll go back to the Bible. Why does Paul say, and be not conformed to the world? Because the world draws its own absolutes. The world tells you, It's okay to do things as long as you don't hurt anybody else. The world draws that conclusion from Pauline writing, where he says, I should not let my life be an offense to somebody else. However, there is a standard. And the standard doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from the United States. It comes from God. This is the reason why so many so-called third world countries hate the United States, because the United States is hypocritical. They tell North Korea, you can't have nuclear weapons, but we got them. You can't tell other sovereign nations what to do. North Korea is a threat to use them. How does that look in the face of the fact that we're the only nation to ever use one? How do we tell other nations how to deal with the poor when we ignore ours? We send all this food to third world countries and ignore people on Columbia Avenue. So therefore, you and I cannot establish the boundaries of life by America. America is a nation that is extremely lustful, extremely ungodly. They've declared war on God. They want to take him out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They want to take him off the money. They want to take him out of, they've already moved him out of family. They put him out of school. Now they're trying to get him out of church. They're trying to take him out of so-called religion. They don't want God anymore. And the Bible says, the wicked and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. However, you and I are the land of Goshen. While God is dealing with Egypt, you and I will have our needs met. You and I will walk in healing when sickness and disease rises for them. You and I will be financially okay while they're going through bankruptcy.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit EricLambertMinistries.com. EricLambertMinistries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit EricLambertMinistries.com and add to your digital library today.